to be reading from John chapter 1, verses 1 through to 18. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Thank you, Sydney. Please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. And tonight we're starting a new series. Apologies for the name. It's called Fat Chats with Jesus, fat with a PH. And it's one of those titles that kind of just stuck in my head as a bit of a joke initially, and then I couldn't shake it. It's kind of sticky. Got stuck in there. And so that's what it's called. If it's offensive to you, I apologise, but get over it. Anyway. But the idea of this series, it's really simple and yet profound. The idea is that Jesus is God in the flesh. And if we want to know what God is like, then we need to look to Jesus, the God-man, the man of history. That's it. Done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to delight in your word. Please help us to understand it. Please help us to know that Jesus is your Son, that he is God in the flesh, and that by looking to him, we can see what you are like. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure how you felt as Sydney read through the Bible before. It's a pretty trippy passage, if we're honest. And I guess the question that might have come to your mind is this: what has any of this got to do with me? What do I care about the Word being with God and the Word was God? What do I care about that? Well, to hopefully help you see the relevance of this passage, I want us to think about two different scenarios. The first scenario happens in the lunchroom, at work or at uni or in the playground at school. You're not sure where to sit, but you notice that the person eating tuna is sitting by themselves. And so you decide to take one for humanity and sit beside them. This tuna eating person, they know that you're a Christian. And so as they eat their disgusting salad, they say to you, "How do you know? How do you know that God is real? How do you know what God is like?" Now, they kind of want to know the answer, but they're kind of mocking you at the same time. Well, what do you say to them as you swallow a mouthful of leftover spaghetti? Well, Well, we'll come back to that scenario at the end of the talk. The second scenario that I want you to imagine is this. You have a Christian friend and they are going through something significant, a significant life event. It's very tragic. I'll let you work out the exact details of that. But they say to you, how can God be a good God if he allows things like that to happen? How do you answer that question as your friend kind of sits on the stair next to you and is weeping? Well, again, you'll have to wait to the end of the talk for the answer. But I will give away the answer just a little bit for now. It's all got to do with Jesus, God, who put on flesh. Well, please have your Bibles open there at John chapter 1. Our first point tonight is that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Let me read to you verses 1 and 2 again. It says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, the start of our passage mimics the very start of the Bible, where it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But here in the Gospel of John, we find out that someone else was present. When God was creating the world, the Word was there. And the Word was distinct from God, but the Word was God. Now, there's a bit of a debate over what John means by saying the Word was God. Because in the original language, in the Greek, there's no article, there's no the, it doesn't say the God. And so some people want to say that the Word is not, you know, capital G God. It's like a little God. It's maybe got some God-like qualities. Jehovah Witnesses might say something like that. But the Greek sentence structure means that the Word was God. In these verses, we get a little taste of what the Trinity is like. One God consisting of three different persons. Each person is God, but each person has a unique role to play. And we'll soon see which member of the Trinity the Word is. But for now, it's suffice to say that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now, in verse 3, we get a little taste of how the Word is different to what we might call God the Father. It was God the Father who spoke at creation. He said, let there be light, and there was light. But it was the Word, verse 3 tells us, that did the creating. The Word is the agent of creation. The Word is the one doing the making. The Word is Mr. Maker. Now, in verse 4, we find out that life was in the Word. And that life was a light to humanity. Now, it's hard to know exactly what John means by that. But I think he's saying, because the Word gave life to humans, that life that was in humans was a light pointing to God. And verse 5 tells us that light shines in the darkness. The Word has shined into the world, but how does the world respond? Well, there's two ways we can go with how the world responds, and both seem legit. The first is to say that the darkness of the world has not understood the light. That's the first option. The other option is to say that the darkness has not overcome the light. Both give away how the Word coming into the world went. People rejected the Word. They killed the Word. But the Word was not overcome by the darkness. Well, we haven't seen who the Word is just yet. You might have a pretty good idea of who it is, but we'll see very soon who it really is. But in our first point, we've seen that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now, recently I've been listening to a podcast. The podcast is called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Some of you may have been listening to it as well. And it's mainly about this guy called Mark Driscoll. He was a very famous preacher from Seattle, and he wrote a number of books, and he does pretty amazing talks, and I've listened to a lot of his stuff. But along the way, he kind of lost his way. And so this story, the rise and fall of Mars Hill, it tells you kind of what happened. And it turns out the people who were there in the beginning are very significant. As they retell this story, they always talk about the people who were there when Mark planted this church called the Rise, it was called Mars Hill, what it was called. But the people who were there in the beginning are very significant. They're of great interest as you retell the story. Well, how significant do you think the Word is? The Word was there at the beginning of creation. In fact, the Word was the one making life. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Friends, the Word is super significant. That's what our passage is telling us. So what does it mean for what we've seen so far? Well, all I want you to really lock in for now is that at creation, God was there and the Word was there and the Word was God. There is one God, but so far we've met two members of the Trinity. Well, we'll find out in our second point a bit more about the Word, because the world did not recognize the Word. We'll check out verses 6 to 9 with me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Here the author of John's Gospel, the Apostle John, refers to another John, John the Baptist. He was Jesus' cousin, and he was sent by God to be a witness to the Word, to be a witness to the light, so that people might believe in the light. But verses 10 and 11 tell us of the great tragedy of what happened. When the light entered the world did not recognize the very one who had created them. In fact, the light went to God's special Old Testament people, Israel, and generally speaking, they did not receive the light. But verses 12 and 13 tell us that some people received the light, the Word, and they became children of God. The Word came into the world, and generally speaking, the world did not recognize him. Well, I wonder if you've ever failed to recognize someone significant. I love the story of a guy called Rico. He's the host of Christianity Explored, if you've ever kind of watched that. I watch it a number of times on a youth camp. I've seen it lots of times. And so I call him Uncle Rico, because it just kind of helps me kind of stick with him. I think he's got a South African accent, and I think the kids appreciate calling him Uncle Rico as well. Anyway, he tells a story of how one night he spent a few minutes with Prince William. But it wasn't until kind of the moment had passed that he realized that he'd been with someone really significant, and he hadn't had those chats. You know, I don't know what you would do if you had time with Prince William. I probably wouldn't recognize him. I think most of the blokes in the room are probably like, who cares? I think some of the girls might actually care if they spent some time with Prince William. I don't know. But it would be pretty crazy to have a chat with the possible future King of England. This guy, Uncle Rico, he missed the opportunity. And it was a massive tragedy to him. But here in this passage, we have a true tragedy. The Word, the light, the one who made creation, he came into creation, and his created beings failed to recognize who he was. I wonder if you're starting to recognize who the Word is. I wonder if you're starting to put all the pieces together, because it would be a real tragedy for us to fail to see who the Word is. Well, as we move into our third point, it'll be super clear who the Word is, because the Word puts on flesh. Well, pick it up with me from verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word who was present at creation, the Word who was responsible for making stuff, that Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. More literally, it says, the Word pitched his tabernacle or lived in his tent among us. It's a bit weird for us, but it's meant to remind the people of how God lived with his Old Testament people before the temple was built. God dwelled among his people by living in this special tent called the tabernacle. That's how they knew that God's presence was with them. But here is God in the flesh, living amongst his people in a much more personal way than ever before. And we find out that the Word is the Son of God, it's Jesus, and he came from the Father full of grace and truth. Well, John expands on what he means by that in verses 16 and 17. I think what John is saying is that in Jesus, we get God's most amazing display of grace and truth. Jesus will die so that people who believe in him don't have to get what they deserve. They can have the free gift of forgiveness. And friends, that is the absolute truth of the matter from Jesus, from God. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he reveals to us God's ultimate grace and truth. Jesus reveals to us what God the Father is like. And John says that in verse 18. And verse 18 is really a key verse for this whole series. Let me read it to you. It says this: no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This is such a great verse, I reckon, because it captures all the subtleties of the situation. No one's ever seen God. Moses, that dude from the Old Testament, he got to see God's back, but not his face. But the Word, who is the one and only Son and is God and is in closest possible relationship with the Father, has made him known. If we want to know what the God of the universe is like, what the God of creation is like, what the God of the Bible is like, well, friends, we need to look to Jesus. If you want to get to know someone that you actually can't spend physical time with, you get to know those people who are really close to them. Now, imagine this. Imagine that you wanted to get to know me better. I'm not saying that you do. I don't know why you'd want to do that. But imagine that for a moment, that you wanted to get to know me better. But imagine also that you couldn't spend time with me, right? So you want to know me better, but you can't spend time with me. Well, then you could spend time with my wife. After all, the union between a husband and wife, it's meant to be the strongest possible human tie. And so if you wanted to know what I was really like when I'm at home in my stubbies and my singo, well, then you could talk to my wife. And Debbie, she's a pretty straightforward lady. She plays a pretty straightforward bat. She's not Dutch, but she does have Dutch godparents. And that means that she kind of just says it like it is, bluntly and truthfully. And so if you want to know what I'm like really, talk to my wife Deb and she will tell you. We're in the closest possible human relationship with each other. Well, friends, Jesus is in the closest possible relationship with his Father. In the Greek, it actually says that Jesus sits in his lap. Jesus is part of the Trinity or the Godhead. He is God the Son. He is God. Friends, if you want to know what God is like, the God of the Bible is like, the God of creation, then look to Jesus. Jesus put on flesh to rescue us. Jesus put on flesh to suffer and to die for us. That's the kind of God that we follow. A God who reveals himself to us in his Son, a man of history. Friends, in John chapter 1, we're finding out that God has revealed himself to us in his Son, Jesus. And so this term, as we have some fat chats with Jesus, we're going to see what God is really like. We're going to see what God thinks is truly satisfying. We're going to see how God deals with broken people, particularly sexually broken people. We're going to see that God's in charge, but that he hates our suffering. We're going to see that God has made a way for us to be with him forever. We're going to see what God went through to rescue us. We're going to see how God deals with our doubts, particularly our doubts of his resurrected Son. Friends, we're going to see what God is like. What about those questions from earlier? How do you answer your work colleague or your friend at school or your friend at uni when they say to you, how do you know that God is real? How do you know what God is like? Well, friends, I would point them to Jesus, God in the flesh, a man of history. Jesus tells us exactly what God is like. Jesus reveals God the Father to us. What about your friend doing it tough? What about your friend who's crying next to you on the steps? That friend who's struggling to believe that God is good. Well, again, I would point them to Jesus. In this series, we will see how Jesus will interact with this world, how he interacts with our pain and suffering. We will see that Jesus hates our pain and suffering. He hates it. And he goes all the way to the cross, to dying on a cross, to make sure that one day, if we believe in him, there'll be absolutely no more pain and no more suffering as we live with him in perfection forever. Friends, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, he made us to be in a relationship with him. And so, of course, he wants us to know what he's like. And he's revealed to us what he's like in his Son, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who is in the closest possible relationship with his Father. Friends, in Jesus, we can see what God is like. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it makes it really clear that Jesus put on flesh, that Jesus reveals to us what you are like. Father, help us to know that you're real by looking to Jesus. Father, help us to know that you do care for us. You deeply care for us. Your Son put on flesh to suffer and to die for us. Father, please help us to trust in him. Father, please help us to know that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Please help us to know that if we trust in him, we will be with you in perfection forever. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to respond to God's word by singing. And